data center virtualization. It allows IT organizations to optimize resources, simplify management, and improve flexibility across the infrastructure. However, when working with inflexible existing hardware, data center administrators can still end up spending more time on manual procedures versus strategic initiatives. I'm your host, James Hilliard. On today's episode of Connection Point, we'll be talking with Cisco, learning more about a next-generation data center platform that unites computing, networking, storage access, and virtualization into a cohesive system. Joining us today, Frank Goppel, a Cisco Data Center Channel Manager. He's been with Cisco for 9 years, working with customers to implement Cisco's various data center solutions. He has done it for the small, medium-sized businesses. He's done it all the way up to the Fortune 50 companies. Frank, appreciate you taking time and joining me today.
Thanks, James. I'm looking forward to being here today.
One of the things I want to do, Frank, as we started, I alluded to it a bit in my introduction to this next generation data center platform to really simplify IT infrastructures. I want you to start here by telling us a little bit about Cisco's approach to data centers and virtualization.
Thanks, James. You know, first of all, you know, Cisco comes into a market, and our intention is always to be number one or number two in that marketplace long term. And we're coming in with a clean sheet of paper, so we've really gone back to the basics of what people are doing in a data center from a server and compute perspective. So we're starting with basic principles, but we also start designing from a system level. We didn't start using as a server as a design point, but we started at a system level, which is integrating both the network and the computer into one infrastructure to really simplify and make it easier for customers to deploy server nodes as they need to in the environment, and more importantly, get them back when they're no longer needed. That way they can the IT can flex and breathe with the environment as the data center needs it. So as an application needs more resources, it can get it. And when it doesn't need the resources, it gives it back to the general pool so other applications can use it when they need it.
Getting into a little more detail here, this approach is your Cisco UCS approach. Give me a little definition there of what that is for folks.
The UCS is what we're calling our unified compute system, and it combines aspects of Cisco's networking portfolio, particularly our Nexus 10 gig switching infrastructure, as well as Intel industry standard blades servers into one platform. And it has numerous components, both on the networking side, as well as chassis, which customers are used to from a traditional blade server chassis, all the way down the blades. But we do bring some innovation to this. First of all, we started with 10 gig networking. So the only networking available in the UCS, at least for the blade version, will be 10 gig. For the rack mount versions, we will have lower speeds, such as regular RJ45, 10100 Ethernet. Moving on up from that 10 gig networking, we've combined the networks from, instead of having two separate networks, both a fiber channel and a storage network, we've moved them together in what we're calling unified fabric, which is combining the fiber channel protocol, which can still be managed and separately operated from the Ethernet traffic, but moving that protocol to running on the same wire as your traditional Ethernet infrastructure. Now we apply quality service to maintain preferential treatment for the fiber channel traffic over other traffic if that's desired, and also extending the management to the different levels so the storage team can manage the storage traffic separately than the networking team managing the network traffic. By doing that, we give flexibility to the infrastructure. Layering on top of that unified fabric, we have a concept called service profiles. This abstracts the identity from the hardware server blade, from the actual blade itself. So when you have a blade from Cisco, there's really no hardware identity to that server. That server only gets identity when it is put into a system and identity is assigned to it. What this does is this gives virtualization to all applications, whether you're using a virtualization software like VMware or you're doing a bare metal install such as Oracle directly onto the server.
Frank, let me ask you about the UCS approach in terms of organizations and their sizes. Is this appropriate for all sizes, all scales?
It definitely is, James, because we have offerings from entry level with a rack mount server offering all the way up to largest scalable infrastructures out there. Now, we are in the x86 space. We are not offering a Unix system at this time, but we are specializing in that x86 space, which is where most of the organizations are going today. And Cisco's approach to getting into new markets is not to be a me too. Where we see the market going is towards heavily virtualized. And our platform is optimized for large-scale virtualization. And not just virtualizing servers, but virtualizing desktops as well. So the question is, how do you have an infrastructure that can scale rapidly to handle mass quantities of virtualization going forward? And these feature sets are available for large-scale implementations, but they're also available for even an entry-level customer that only needs a couple of nodes in their environment. Because what is happening in the environment is virtualization is happening at all levels of organizations, the largest organizations all the way down to the smallest. And sometimes the smallest get a bigger bang for their buck because they can save right off on the CapEx. Instead of buying multiple servers, they can buy a couple and have it do multiple roles inside the organization with virtualization.
Frank, you and I both know in terms of the timeline of virtualization, it's starting to gain a lot more traction these days, but there are people that have already gone through virtualization projects. What if someone is already virtualized? Is the Cisco UCS approach something that they can still take advantage of?
Definitely, because every day that goes by, Moore's Law keeps working. And what the UCS gives you, it gives you flexibility from an architectural standpoint where, for example, you install your networking and your chassis once, and that's an investment you make for the long term. And if you've been around with Cisco before, people know that once you put a networking switch in, that investment's made. You constantly get new capabilities by making new investments in the line cards. Likewise, on the UCS, you're going to be making new investments on the newest Intel processing. So as customers need new server that can bring new capability, and Intel is putting a lot of investment into their chipsets that are optimized for virtualization as well. And UCS and Cisco is a key strategic partner with Intel to bring these technologies to market. So no matter how much you are doing virtualization, as you constantly need to upgrade that server infrastructure, UCS can be there for you, and so you can get the most out of virtualizing that infrastructure.
Frank, we've talked a little tech here. One of the reasons that people virtualize is, one, they want to get some new technology and they want to simplify their environment. They're also looking for some business value. Can you share a story or two about kind of the types of efficiencies that some of the organizations that you've had a chance to talk with and work with have achieved through running on this platform?
One example offhand, the University of Arizona has deployed UCS, and they've saved over 50% in CapEx, both in limiting the amount of redundant components they'd have to buy in a traditional server infrastructure, because with Cisco's UCS, you buy the network once, and you have very limited additional redundant components. Other traditional offerings in the marketplace, you're constantly buying more switches, more management points in that environment, which adds to CapEx, but more importantly, it adds to OpEx. Cisco's approach coming at this market from a system perspective and not really using the server as a design point, we are able to reduce components. And when you reduce components, that obviously saves money up front on the CapEx. But more importantly, it saves money on the OpEx. So first of all, you obviously save money on power and cooling every time you reduce components in a solution. But when you reduce components, you save points of management. So again, University of Arizona saved 50% on CapEx, as well as 30% on their OpEx. Another data point is we've had customers that have taken the system, and when they want to scale out virtualization, they've been able to stand up 12 VMware servers in less than 2 minutes. By leveraging our service profile technologies and the unified fabric, it lets it scale very rapidly.
Frank, let's jump on over to some performance and management type features. Our listeners know they're very important when considering how a platform is going to perform in their infrastructure. So I want to hear what features that the Cisco UCS offers that really sets it apart from others.
First of all, Cisco is very committed to open standards. We always have been. Our platform is fully XML capable. So if you have any tools that you're very comfortable with using, you can leverage them to manage the system. So it's a very open system to manage. But more importantly, as you get the system, we include a feature called UCS Manager, which is a single pane of glass, whether you're managing one server or 50 or 100, managing that environment. And they tie in very closely with vCenter and our storage vendors partners as well to scale with that. So when we set up a new server, we make calls out to the storage vendor, to VMware and vCenter, to stand that feature up in that environment.
Well, you're kind of starting to get into a little bit of my next question here. And as I'm listening to you, budgets these days in IT, if they're growing at all, that organization's in a good position. A lot of budgets are flat these days. The idea of ripping and replacing a whole server infrastructure is something that most organizations are going to say, we can't do that. Is that what needs to happen to be able to operate Cisco's UCS?
No, definitely not. And, you know, Cisco came into, this is analogous to when Cisco came into the voice, the phone market about 10 years ago. We obviously understand you have a invested infrastructure that you already have, we don't expect you to replace just for the sake of replacing. However, there is savings to be had there. But before I go there, you know, we will interoperate with all existing infrastructures, your existing storage, your existing servers there. We will interoperate with theirs. But as everyone knows, servers after a couple years, it almost costs more to keep them powered up and operating than it is from the processing capability. For example, there's a case study out on Cisco.com with Coca-Cola where they reduced 80 servers to 4. Just on power cooling costs alone, they saved a lot of money by powering those 80 servers off. And they were going to replace them anyways. Now, UCS may have accelerated that a little bit and made it faster. Instead of going to maybe 8 other servers, they were able to go to 4 UCS servers. But that, as the general life cycle happens with the servers, by getting into UCS, we will interoperate with all the infrastructure you already have, as well as give you a platform to move forward on.
Frank Goppel with me from Cisco. Before we wrap up, Frank, I want to give people some kind of best practices in terms of next steps on how they plan out a future migration path to this unified computing. So give me, if you will, top maybe 2 or 3 things that you would recommend an IT group do before so that they can really develop that right strategy for their organization.
Yeah, I think it starts with the strategy planning, and there's a lot of buzz right now about cloud strategies and virtualization, and I think you need to take a step back and say, okay, where are we going? Are we virtualized? Or how virtualized are we? And even companies that are very virtualized, they may be very virtualized inside the data center, but what about that wave of virtualizing desktops? What are their plans there? What are their plans for cloud strategy and servers? So, for example, at Cisco, we no longer build hot standby data centers. We built new data centers in Texas, primarily for power, actually was a major concern because it's a separate power grid. But we are building hot, hot data centers where we can have applications float between them as the business needs. So instead of building 2 whole data centers, one just sitting there in standby, we build 2 data centers and have them both operating continuously. So it's really taking a step back and what are your plans to virtualize? What are your plans at the networking layer? Because when you look at bringing more applications into a virtual infrastructure, there's 3 main criteria to keep in mind. The first one is, what is your bandwidth into the server? And obviously Cisco with 10 gig networking coming out ready for 40 gig, ready for 100 gig is definitely there. A next layer is processing. We are right there with Intel. We are one of their strategic partners. When they introduced a new Westmere chip this past month, we already have products available for that today. And Intel says that we are definitely maximizing their technology for virtualization, and we're coming off number one in many performance benchmarks. And lastly is memory. How much capability do you have on the memory? And you want to look at a platform that whichever axes you need capability in can scale where you need to when you need to. So take a step back and figure out where you're at with virtualization, everything at the networking layer, at the storage layer, and at that compute layer.
Hey, Frank, good tips for us to close on. Really appreciate the time today.
Thank you very much, James. I appreciate it.
And for our listeners, if you are interested in learning more about the benefits of unified computing in your infrastructure, turn to the PC Connection family of companies. Serving SMBs, government, education, and enterprises, their team has the technical expertise, the professional services, and extensive IT product lines to transform technology into complete IT solutions for your organizations. Call your account manager to learn more about starting your next IT project with an assessment and engaging their on-staff experts. You can learn more at pcconnection.com/Cisco or call 1-800-800-0014. I'm James Hilliard. Thanks again for joining us today.